Last time that I was in the pulpit on Wednesday night, if I remember correctly, we were talking about the subject of lingering in the presence of the Lord. And I believe it's something that is very, very important to us today in where we are as a church, where God is taking us. And I believe that we're finding some good things in that effort that we're putting forth to linger in His presence. How many are working on that? Praise the Lord. How many are working on that in your private prayer time, in your own personal consecration? Just not getting in too big of a hurry, but hanging around the presence of God. I want to talk about it some more tonight, because I believe that there's some things that we can yet see. Some things that I'm going to say tonight in this service. The ladies at Ladies Retreat that were there has heard some of this, but I feel like it's beneficial to all of us here tonight in this place. But I remember whenever we were here the last time in this subject, that we talked about the greatest loss that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. They were given dominion over all things that the Lord had created. And yet it wasn't their dominion that was lost that was their greatest loss. I believe it was the fact that they lost the daily time of walking with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, in the garden, in the cool of the day. The Bible lets us know that after they had sinned, that the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden, in the cool of the day. And it was from that presence that Adam and Eve had fled. And I hope tonight that you will work with me a few minutes in this lesson. And let's grasp a hold of something a little more, a little greater. You know, there's many scriptures, and I'm going to read quite a number here tonight in a few moments. There's many scriptures about the presence of God that is that are tremendous. They speak so many things to us about what we receive when we are in the presence of the Lord. Now, I made mention of the fact, and I do believe this. I do believe that Adam and Eve, whenever they lost their place in the garden and they were cast out of the garden, they were cast out of the presence of God. I believe that we as the church, born again of water and of spirit, baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, we have the privilege of getting back in that place where Adam and Eve was before they were cast out of the garden. I believe that's our privilege today. Amen. We don't have to go through this world living a life that is nothing more than a life guided by rules, regulations, guidelines, laws. Amen. And that all we're trying to do is fulfill a set of rules. But we can actually get in His presence. Amen. And understand things about God that we can't understand just by following the rules. Right. Amen. I believe that abiding by the Word of God is a wonderful thing for a person to do. I think making a commitment, I believe making a commitment to truth, making a commitment to righteousness is a wonderful thing for an individual to do. But I don't want to try to live this life and only live it based on what's right and what's wrong. I want a relationship with God. I want to be in His presence. Because I find in Scripture that being in the presence of God helps you understand things about this life that you live for God. that you can't understand out here in this world. Our Bible teaches us that the carnal mind, everybody say the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It means it's opposite. It means it is in contradiction. It means that the carnal mind is an enemy of God. It cannot understand the things of God. Our carnal thinking, our fleshly approach. That's why so many people in our world today do not understand our consecration. They don't understand our commitment that we make to God, the lifestyle that we live. They don't understand it. And the reason is because they've never been in His presence. If they would ever get in the presence of God, they'd understand a whole lot more than what they do by just observing how we live. Can I hear a witness tonight? Amen. And I brought out, I'm not going to go back because I've got other things I want to talk about, but just to remind you that we've talked about Adam and Eve in the garden and what they lost and how that we by the blood of Jesus are returned back to that original place and we now can be in the presence of God. We can enjoy a relationship with God, not once a month, not once a year, but every day. We can walk with the Lord in His presence. And we also talked about Exodus 33 and how that the thing that Moses was far more concerned about than anything else was the loss of the presence of God among the people of God. And that's why he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, then don't send us up hence. Amen. Don't make us go by ourselves. We need your presence in order to take the land. And we talked about how that Moses took his own tent. He had not had time at this point to build the tabernacle, but he took his own tent and he set it outside the camp, and it became a place where anybody in Israel that wanted to seek after the Lord could go out to that tent, that tabernacle that Moses had pitched. And again, this is not the tabernacle in the wilderness. This is not what they eventually built. This was a temporary house, and there was a reason why that he set up that temporary tent. It was because he was so concerned about the loss of the presence of God that he said, in essence, I cannot wait until we get this other tent built, this other house built. I'm going to set up a temporary tabernacle of the congregation, and that is going to be the place where I'm going to go and seek after God. And the Bible said it is in Exodus 33:7. That everyone who sought the Lord went out to that, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And so I just have to picture that all day long you could see a stream of people going and coming from that tabernacle that was set up temporarily outside the camp. Because I have to believe that in that camp, there were people that were hungry for God. There were people that had a desire to be in the presence of the Lord. I believe that's the way it is around here. I believe that in this congregation that there are those that are hungry to be in the presence of Almighty God. That there is a thirst in your heart, and you may go a day and not feel His presence, and something begins to sweep over you and say, I've got to get in the presence of God. I've got to find me a prayer room. I've got to find me a place that I can get in tune with the Lord and I can feel His presence one more time about my life. Why is that, church? What is the reason that we have that feeling? Well, let me read you a number of verses here tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 27. And if they will be so kind as to keep these scriptures on the screen for me as we go through them. 1 Chronicles 16 and 27. He said, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. These are things that the world cannot give to you. But whenever you get in the presence of God, you find the glory of God and you find the honor of God. And not only that, but you find the strength of God as well as the gladness of God. Oh, what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, there's a reason why that I am coming back to this subject tonight and talking about it some more. It's because I don't want us to lose the momentum that we have gained thus far in what God is doing in this assembly. And I don't want us to lose the importance of this or the reality of this. I want us to be conscious that when the presence of God begins to come in the house, we need to entertain that presence. And we need to linger in that presence. We need to draw everything we can from the presence of the Lord. Somebody say amen. We need to get into everything we can while we are in his presence. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 9, he said, if when evil come upon us, this is Solomon praying at the dedication of the temple. If when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, and we stand before his house, and before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then will you hear and you will help. Amen. I want to tell you that when you get in the presence of God and you begin to pray in the Spirit, you sense that what you are saying is being heard by your God. And the Bible teaches us that even while you are yet speaking, the Lord will answer you. When you get in the presence of God, it will have an effect on your prayer. It will have an effect on the Lord hearing your prayer. I believe God hears everything that we say. I believe that God hears our prayer when we're driving down the road in our automobile. I believe he hears our prayer when we're silently praying in a hospital corner. It doesn't matter where we are that we pray, God hears our prayer. But I have to tell you that when you feel like you are literally standing in the presence of God, what a difference it feels when you are talking to the Lord. When you are communicating to him the burden of your heart. Come on, church. To get in his presence allows you to unburden yourself. Put everything upon the altar and say, I am telling you what I feel in my heart and in my spirit. And Solomon said, when we're here in your presence and we cry because of our affliction, he said, then God, you'll hear us and you will help us. Psalms 16 and 11, several verses here in Psalm. Psalm 16 and 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures for how often? How long? Forevermore. Amen. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. The world cannot give you fullness of joy. They can give you a temporary happiness, but they cannot give you the fullness of joy. But when the fullness of joy comes to your life, it will be because you get in the presence of God. You understand that there's a purpose in your life. There's a reason for your living in this world. Now, we understand, church. All of us have duties and responsibilities. We work jobs. We have occupations that we fulfill our responsibilities in those areas. We may be a father. We may be a mother. We may be a husband, wife. Whatever position that we have and whatever role that we play in this world, those are things that we do necessary to continue our relationships here in this life and in this world that we live in. And if we're not careful, we get to thinking that life that we're living there is separate and apart from the life that we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not so. I believe it is the will of God that if you are the kind of husband you're going to be, you are going to be bringing glory to God as a husband. If you are the kind of father that the Word of God teaches us to be, then we are going to bring glory to God in our efforts as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as an employee, as an employer. It doesn't matter what area that we are laboring in life. If we are fulfilling what the Bible teaches us that we ought to be in those areas, then that in itself is bringing honor and glory to the Lord. In other words, if we're doing it as unto God, there ought to be some joy that we find in doing these things because it's being done for more than just the purpose of making money or maintaining a home or keeping a family together. Somebody help me say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am telling you that as a father, you can be the kind of father. You can be the kind of man of the house. You can be the kind of mother or wife in such a measure that you find joy in it because you're doing it according to the Word of God. And ultimately in what you do, you're bringing glory and honor to God. Amen. Make it any sense to you? Amen. But where do we draw this joy from? We're going to draw it from the presence of the Lord. Even working our daily job, getting out and laboring as an employee of a company, or if you are an employer, whatever the case might be, the Bible teaches us that when we work, we ought to do it as if the one that we're working for is Jesus Christ Himself. Praise the Lord. So if we looked at our boss and we said, I'm doing this for the glory of God. I'm not doing this for the glory of man. I'm not doing this to be a man pleaser. I'm doing it to be a God pleaser. Are you with me, church? Amen. I'm not coming in just punching the clock and going to work 8 hours, or at least I'm going to put my 8 hours in, whether I work or not. I'll put my 8 hours in, and then I'm on the road doing my usual after school or after work activities, whatever the case might be. But when you're looking at that employer and you are treating him as if he were Jesus Christ, you say it's hard to do. But that's how we bring glory to God. In our everyday life. That's how we bring glory to God in the way we live. Now, how do we draw that joy? How are we going to get that joy? You're not going to get it by never being in the presence of God. That's why when we have a service around here and the presence of the Lord is moving and flowing and operating and great things are happening, we need to draw everything we can possibly get from God at that moment in time. That's why that I have let you know that if their service is moving in that direction, then I'm not going to officially dismiss the service. I don't want to move someone out of the presence of God too quickly. They may need that extra 30 minutes. They may need another hour in the altar praying and touching God. We need the Lord to help us. I believe if we are going to be the witness and the example that we ought to be to the world that we're in today, it is going to take us being in the presence of God to such a measure that there's things about Him that, if I could use this term, rubs off on us. It begins to affect us. It begins to change our attitude and change our spirit and make us what He wants us to be. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Peter and John in the book of Acts, that when they were brought before the council, whenever they had passed judgment on them, the Bible said that they perceived, they looked upon them as ignorant and unlearned men, but they perceived that they had been with Jesus. the effect of being with Jesus was so great upon their life that the world of that time looked beyond what they perceived to be ignorance and being unlearned and said, we see something else about these men. The effect of Jesus Christ has been so great upon them that we don't have any doubt they've been with Jesus. Oh, that the world would say that about us in our time today. And I hope that you understand where I'm coming from and what I want to try to achieve here tonight in this service. That whenever we walk through our world around us needs to say, they have been in the presence of God. They have been in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. They have been where the Lord is. And I'd like to have a little bit of what they've got.
Amen.
Amen. God forbid that the world would look at us and say, if that's Christianity, I want no part of it. I want them to feel something whenever we get around them. The psalmist prayed very strongly in Psalm 51:11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here is a man that understood if the Holy Spirit of God was taken away from him, and if he was cast out from the presence of God, essentially what he was saying here is, there wouldn't be anything left of me. Problem there, Houston. All right. Psalms 95:2. He said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 102. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Everybody say singing. Amen. Come before his presence with singing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him of psalms. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It is the will of God that we get in the presence of the Lord. For it is in the presence of the Lord that we are so affected that it changes not only who we are and what we are, but it changes how people see us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 7. Talk to you about an incident in the New Testament here. Beautiful story. Tremendous story in Scripture. But I want you to notice how this is worded. Luke 7:36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And some folks, all they want to do is just have a quick meal with the Lord. Amen. Just want to get together. But behold, in verse 37, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, what? Weeping. Everybody say weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Amen. Here's a Pharisee who wants Jesus to come in and eat supper. So he does. He goes in and he is in the position of eating supper that they took of that time. I think it was probably most likely a reclining position. And the Bible tells us that there was a woman of the city who came in and she had an alabaster box of ointment, which means that she was carrying with her something very expensive. Number one. Number two, the Bible said she came in behind him. She stood behind him and she began to weep. I'm talking about being in his presence. And the scripture said that she washed his feet with her tears. A question to ask tonight. How long does it take to weep enough tears wash somebody's feet with tears. Can't do it in 30 seconds. Can't do it in a minute. You can't do it in 3 minutes. You think about it, church. She cried enough tears that she could actually wash his feet with her tears. That means it took her a while in his presence. She was there for a while weeping. Now, you got to understand something about their customs of that day. You think, you know, when this Pharisee saw her and said the things that he said about Jesus and about this woman, you see that in those times the house was pretty much open. It was open house almost every night. And so anybody could come in. Anybody that wanted to come in the house. If Jesus was in the house and anybody that wanted to come in the house, they could come in the house where Jesus was. If you had a guest there and someone wanted to come in and speak to them, they could come in and do it. But that's the way it ought to be today. The doors ought not to be closed to anybody. Anybody that wants to get in the presence of Jesus Christ, the door ought to be open to them. This is not an exclusive club around here. Amen. We want to have the Lord in the house every time we come together so that those that want to come and sit at his feet and draw from him, they have the privilege and the opportunity. I would rather come and him be in the house and someone else come than to come and him not be in the house. And others come looking for him in the house. I want the Lord in the house every time we come together. I want his presence to be known that he's in this place. So when someone comes looking for him, he's here. But she was there for a period of time, weeping enough tears to wash his feet. The point here is simply this. Amen. If you're going to get in his presence and you're going to worship him and you're going to adore him and you're going to wash his feet with your tears, friend, as it were, it's going to take you a while to be able to do that. You're not going to do it in just a few moments of time. Amen. Talking about lingering in his presence. Now, here's the next thing I want you to notice about that story. And that is that when she washed his feet, verse 38 said she did wipe them with the what? Hairs of her head. Here he is. His feet have been drenched. They've been saturated. They have been washed. And she reaches around and gets the hair of her head. And she begins to dry those feet. Let me tell you something. And I'm going back to my original vein that I started in tonight in this Bible study. There's a lot of things that don't make sense about living for God until you're at his feet. Until you've lingered in his presence for a while. Come on, church. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. There's a lot of things that people don't understand until you've been in his presence for a while. Can I tell you something? Long hair only makes sense when you're at his feet. Praise the Lord. Think about it. Could she have done that as a woman with short cut hair? No. She could never have washed his feet and dried them with the hairs of her head had her hair been cut, had her hair been short. But because she had long hair, it made sense. Long hair makes sense at the feet of Jesus. Stay with me a few minutes. Amen. I said long hair makes sense at the feet of Jesus. If you're going to dry his feet from the tears that you have wept, then you're going to only be able to do it with long hair. You see, there are things about holiness and separation from the world that only makes sense when you've been in his presence. Amen. When you're out here in the world, let me tell you, it makes a difference whose feet you're sitting at. It makes a difference whose table you're eating from. It makes a difference whose influence you have been under.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! You get in the presence of Jesus Christ. You get in the atmosphere of the Spirit, and you're weeping and crying, and you're giving Him adoration, and you're giving Him attention. You're showing Him the love that's in your heart. It doesn't take long, friend, before when you come out of there, you realize things that didn't make sense before I got in His presence, now they do make sense. Holiness makes sense in the presence of Jesus Christ. Separation from the world makes sense. Praise the Lord. You can listen to this pastor as he talks about holiness and separation from the world. And if you have not been getting in His presence and drawing near to God and being in touch with the Lord, things that I say are not going to make much sense to you. Huh? Amen. When I talk about tight skirts and tight tops and low necklines and short skirts, and some of these skirts around here are just getting too short as far as I'm concerned. I'm telling you right now, and the truth is there's some amens, but I don't need amens, and I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm telling you, as a pastor, some of these skirts are getting absolutely too short. When you got to sit on the front pew and put something over your knees to cover up, your skirt's too short.
Amen.
Might as well say amen. It is a fact. Amen. And what I'm saying right now may not make much sense to you. And the reason is because you've been flipping the pages of too many style magazines. You've been watching too many folks out there in the world, and that appeals to your flesh. But if you get in the presence of God and you get a real praying through, and you've drawn close to His Spirit, which is a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said you get close to that Holy Spirit and you draw near and you get in His presence. When you get up from there, amen, some things start making sense to you that never made sense to you whenever you were, amen, not in His presence. Hallelujah. When you're thinking from carnal perspective, when you keep thinking from a carnal viewpoint, there's some things that just don't make any sense. They don't add up. But when you get in His presence. Huh? How many times have we heard the story about people? Well, we had one lady here years ago. If I call her name, many of you would know it. In fact, you'll probably know it when I tell you. But this is just one example. She got the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. And when she went home that night and retired for the evening, she got up the next day. She had one dress to her name. She got up the next morning and went to put on a pair of slacks. And as she started to put them on, something said, "No, that's not right." And she thought, "What am I going to do? I've only got one dress." We had two or three more weeks of revival. She washed that dress every day and wore the same dress every night to revival. And we're talking about not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all right? We're talking about 7 nights. Amen. Sunday through Sunday and twice on Sunday. She wore the same dress for 2 solid weeks or 3 more weeks until some ladies began to realize she doesn't have any clothes. They started helping her get clothes. And she never put on another pair of slacks. Nobody had to say one word to her. It was the Holy Ghost. She had gotten the Holy Ghost. She got in the presence of God. And when she started to do it, there was something that said, "No, that is not right." She stayed at home all day, wore her house robe all day long, put her dress on to come to church at night. If she had to go into town during the day, she put the same dress on. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, saint of God, when you get in the presence of the Lord and you have touched Him, His glory and power has rested upon your life, and you're feeling fullness of joy, you come out of there saying, "There's some things that make sense to me now. There's some things I understand." Amen. Somebody
say praise the Lord. You know, this is really what we need around here. This is really what we need to get a hold of. We need more than a preacher in the pulpit that all he does is give you rules and regulations and tell you all the guidelines. We need some folks that get so much in the presence of God that when they come out saying, now I understand. Now I understand. Now I know what it is. I know what the difference is.
Praise.
Oh, let's lift our hands and thank him tonight for his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen. You know, the apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and he talked about the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He talked about the table of the Lord and the table of devils. He said, you can't eat at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. What he said is you got to make a choice. You got to make a difference. If you're going to put your feet under his table, if you're going to sit in his presence, then you have to decide, amen, what makes sense to you in the spiritual realm. You can't straddle the fence. You can't live for God and the world all at the same time. You can't come to church and please God at church and then go home and please your friends at school, please your friends on the job. It just doesn't work that way. You will always be torn in your life. You will always be divided. You will always be of a double mind. But when you can get to a point where you say, Lord, it's what I have received in your presence that I want to affect me tomorrow at home, on my job, the way I live, the way I talk, the way I dress. God, let it affect every part of my life.
You see, I hope I'm getting this to your heart. And I hope I don't wear this statement out. But there are just some things that don't make sense until you get at the feet of Jesus. See, people look at our consecration. They look at our devotion. They look at our lifestyle, our separation. Someone asked me the other night, someone came to me and asked me a question. I don't even know, I don't think I can even remember who it was. They said, how should I dress? Well, I said, you go look at my wife. I said, because she lives what I preach and what I believe. Look at how she dresses. Look at the way she conducts herself. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to particularly dress like a 55-year-old woman dresses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That probably wouldn't hurt some of you. Because the way some of you dress, and you look like you just come out of Barnum and Bailey Circus. No face makeup there and a few little other things, and you look like a clown. I'll tell you something. 20 years from now, when your kids look at your pictures, they are going to laugh. And you're going to hide some pictures because you're going to be embarrassed. You say, oh, no, never happened. Don't give me that. I've already watched it happen because everything just cycles. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. In fact, I meant to compliment all of our young ladies Sunday night. They all looked so good. Their hair was up, looked so nice. I think that's so nice. I think it's nice when young ladies put their hair up. It looks so good. It looks clean. It looks neat. Hallelujah. Just looks so neat and clean, and it just looks so nice when you come to church. Looks like you took some time to come to the house of worship to get in his presence. Lord, I want to look as good as I can for you.
Boy, it's getting quiet in this place.
I'm telling you, when you get in His presence, some things begin to make sense. Here Moses, he sees a burning bush. He starts walking toward it, and the angel said, "Whoa! Don't come no closer. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Pull your shoes off. Take your shoes off. The ground you're on is holy." The presence of God, it was a holy place. The Bible teaches us, Joshua, whenever he approached that angel, whatever it was, on the other side of Jordan, as he got near to him, he said, "Hold on, take your shoes off. Ground you're standing on is a holy ground. It's a holy place. You're in the presence of more than just a natural man." You know what? When we get in the presence of God, let me just put this thing on pause just for a minute. I said that in Ethiopia the other day, and he looked at me and said, "What does that mean? Put it on pause." So, I had to explain. Let me put it on pause just for a second. I have read, due to your generosity, last July, as a church family, you blessed us with a pastoral offering. Thank you so much. This coming May 1st is our 35th wedding anniversary, and I'm going to take her on a little cruise. Amen. I'm going to use what you gave us to take her on a cruise. Is that all right? Amen. Anybody put up with me all these years, but Dennis, she deserves a cruise. She deserves more than that, but that's the best I can do for right now. Amen. So, I wasn't trying to hint or anything. I wasn't trying to hint. Praise God. I've been looking at some various places that we're going to visit. And you know what? Every place, religious, every church, every building of that type, they've made it very clear. When you come here, women cannot wear shorts. Men cannot wear tank tops. The knees have to be covered. Ladies must wear a dress or a skirt, and a top covers the shoulders. And I looked at that and I thought, even carnal folks who don't have a clue about the power of God understand that there's some places that are sacred that deserve an appearance that's better than what the world has. Huh? We get into the actual presence of the Lord. We get in His real, true presence. And, you know, it may not make much sense, ladies. It may not make much sense, young ladies especially, you know, to listen to Pastor Bass when he says, do something about these skirts that are dropping too low and these tops that are too short. Put something underneath that bare skin doesn't show when you're worshiping, because we're in a holy place and we're in the holy presence of God. What I'm trying to convey is that when you get in His presence and you get a real touch of God, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a woman in this world who is filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about being in the presence of God and full of the Holy Ghost is going to put on scanty clothing and go out on a beach somewhere. Amen. Expose her body to a world. Amen. And for that matter, there won't be a man that does either that's full of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear a witness? Amen. Amen. Because you see, when you're in the presence of God, you understand the importance of modesty. You understand the importance of holiness and separation. You realize, listen, what you realize, here's the thing you got to understand, we all have to realize, is that we're living our lives for His glory. For His honor. You say, but that's not the way I think it ought to be. I think I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do. Listen, if you want to do whatever you want to do, then don't try to live for God. Because the Bible teaches us that you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. When you went down in water in Jesus' name and you were filled with the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, when you were born again of water and spirit, he bought you by his blood and you committed yourself to him. You don't belong to yourself anymore. That's why you don't walk in the flesh. That's why you don't reach for the things of the flesh. That's why you don't pursue carnal things. That's why you turn and go the other direction. That's why you repented. Amen. That's why you said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I want to live a different life. That's because you turned a different direction. You left the world behind and you set your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you set your eyes on him and you were born again of water and spirit, you became no longer your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Right.
Your body belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. That means we ought to conduct ourselves in such a way that we're bringing glory to God. We're living like we're bringing glory to God. We're talking, bringing glory to God. We're walking and bringing glory to God. Everything we are doing, we're doing it with the purpose and the intent of bringing glory to God.
Amen.
And the more you get in his presence, the more some things make sense to you. Do you know, I would not have to worry about a lot of things. I would not have to deal with a lot of things if there was more time spent in the presence of the Lord. Holiness is not a problem when you've been at his feet. Separation. There's just some things that make more sense at the feet of Jesus. Now the Pharisee stood back and he had his judgment and he had his words. He had his ideas and thoughts about what was going on. Just like a lot of folks in our world today misjudge how we live. They say we're in bondage. That's their observation. You folks are in bondage. That pastor's got you under his thumb and he's controlling you and manipulating you. You'd drink Kool-Aid if he told you to, laced with strychnine. Well, that's not true. I don't know of anybody in this place that'd drink Kool-Aid laced with strychnine if I told them to. Glad it's that way. Amen. I don't want a pastor church that I have to manipulate and crush and force. And that's not the plan of God. Because if that's living for God, well, let me just rephrase it. That's not living for God. That's not living the way he wants us to live. He wants us to live because there's a love in our heart for him. Huh? Amen. But there's so many that misjudge our consecration, our love for God. They misjudge it because they have not been at his feet like we have been. And Jesus pointed out, now listen carefully. I'm going to wrap this up in just a few minutes. Jesus pointed out something. He said, Simon, when I came in your house, he said, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't kiss me. You did nothing for me. You did not even do what was customary for me. But this woman, since the time I came in, she has not ceased to wash my feet and to kiss them, to anoint them. Said, Simon, you didn't anoint me. You didn't wash my feet with tears. You didn't kiss me. You didn't do any of the things normally done to a guest. Listen, church. What was he? He was a judgmental Pharisee who didn't understand what this lady was doing, who did not understand her consecration and her dedication. And you know why he didn't understand it? Because he didn't wash his feet. He didn't kiss him. He didn't anoint him. He did none of those things that would have brought him close to Jesus. All he wanted was, come in the house. I want you here to make me look good. That's the only reason why some folks want to say that they live for God is they want Jesus to make them look good. Are you with me? He wanted to be able to say, Jesus was in my house last night. Jesus was a part of my supper last night. That's all he wanted to say. And that's the problem with many people today, is that's as far as they're going to go with the Lord. They only want to be able to say, well, I've got his picture hanging on the wall over here, and here's his book right here that he wrote, and a few other things. That's all they want to know about Jesus, and that's all they want to have to do with him. And they never learn how to kiss his feet. They never learn how to weep. They never learn how to get close to him. And because they never learn how to do all of that, and they never engage in that, they look at others that do, and they want to find fault right. with the depth of their consecration.
Right. Right.
Amen. I'll tell you why some things make sense to me living for God. I've been at his feet. I've wept. I've been in his presence. I've kissed his feet. I don't mean that. You understand, we've kissed his feet in worship and praise. We've been at the feet of Jesus. There's some things that make sense to me. I don't have to argue the point. In fact, to try to argue the point with someone means not, it don't accomplish anything. Because if you're trying to argue with someone who's carnal about spiritual things, you know, there's nothing going to happen that's beneficial from that argument. But whenever you get with folks who are spiritual, been at his feet, you can talk the same language. You can speak like precious faith. You can speak the same thing, and you understand one another. Isn't it great to be in the presence of God? I'm telling you, church, the more we linger in his presence, the more we stay around the presence of God, the more we stay in tune with him, the more we draw near to him, the more that we are going to experience understanding about our relationship. But I just don't understand. Go back to his feet one more time. Stay there long enough to weep enough tears that you can wash his feet and dry them with your hair. Anoint his feet. Go ahead. Stay there long enough. When you come out, you'll come out with some understanding. You believe that, church?
Yes.
I want to be in the presence of God. I want to draw near to the Lord. I want to come close to him. And I want to stay in his presence. I want to draw close to his presence every day. Amen. Winning souls makes sense. Going out door knocking makes sense when you've been in the presence of Jesus. Because then you realize he came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. Let's all stand together. Bless the name of Jesus.